y'all. It's your boy E. Josiah Canty, man, with Flip the Culture, where the culture won't change until we do. Got a special guest this week, and I know I always say special guest, but this one's super special. Motivational speaker, don't burn your cake, Rashad Hayes, man. How you doing, big dog?
Man, I'm doing good, brother. Look, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this, man. Look, I wish y'all could see this vibe right now, man. But you can. Stop playing. But no, man, I'm grateful to be here, brother, and I'm excited to inspire and light a match for somebody, man. I'm excited, man.
Yeah, bro, I appreciate it, man. And I know we chopped it up before this and even in the past just about just our life trajectories. And that's right, now, one of the professions that we both do is that we're a speaker. So we got to be disciplined, bro. It's you know what I'm saying? You can't be past an hour, bro. I give it an hour, man, just so we can be disciplined. Because we can talk, bro.
100%,
we can talk, bro.
Hey, we get paid to do it.
You're right. And speaking of talking, man, I have a TEDx Alabaster talk coming up. And one thing that my speech is going to be about is just the psychology behind transitioning from an athlete. And a little bit about just knowing you and what's been just easily accessible on social media. I see that your career was cut short by an event that happened. Can you go a little bit into detail about your experience as an athlete and what that transition looked like for you?
Man, I think first thing first, when you say athlete, I want y'all to think about a warrior. Because when I was playing sports, it was to make it out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was to survive. Like, I didn't play for the love of the game.
Hold on. Make it out of what, bro?
Man, look, make it out of poverty. Yeah. Make it out the hood. Like, make it out of that cycle I saw my parents go through, right? So I was the oldest sibling. Mom and dad separated when I was young. I got 9 siblings. We don't have the same mom and dad. We either had the same mom or we had the same dad.
Yeah.
Dad was in Florida, mom in Alabama. We, like I said, we in the poverty-stricken area. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest. So as the oldest, I had to watch the kids. I had to make sure we had food to eat. I had so many other responsibilities. And I'm going to be real, I got tired of it.
Yeah.
And so I said, man, when I get older, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. But then I started asking myself, what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And so then I started falling in love with sports. And I'm going to be honest, my first love wasn't even football. It was basketball.
Wow.
Like, I was a hooper. I'm talking about waking up in the morning, I'm watching MJ highlights. Mm-hmm. I'm watching LeBron. You know, I'm watching all these things. I'm practicing. I'm dribbling. And we had a little event that happened, man. At 14, we got evicted from the house. Mm. And so when we got evicted, man, that kind of shifted my mentality of I can't play ball no more. Like, I got all this anger. Mm-hmm. I gotta hit that football field.
Yeah.
So that's when I started falling in love with football, right?
Yeah.
And then just being realistic, man, from where I'm from in Enterprise, most cats don't make it out because of basketball. It's football that gets people out, you know? And so I'm like, I gotta get out because now we just got evicted. I feel like that's my fault. I gotta go back to save my siblings.
So why, like, did you put that pressure on yourself or were, did
I
your
put
family
it on me,
put,
man.
Why?
I put it on me because it's like, I saw my mom working 2 jobs. Mm-hmm. I saw her doing her best to provide.
Yeah.
And even though I'm only 14 years old, I'm like, man, I got to do something. Mm-hmm. And so I picked that burden up and I said, you know what, I got it. And I don't know, it's just like something that's just inside of us, but it's like when you see the people you love hurting, you're going to do whatever to try to put a smile on their face.
Yeah.
You're going to do whatever to try to lessen their burden. Mm-hmm. And even when we got evicted, man, I remember telling my mama, hey, mama, I love you, but I can't go with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm getting old, I'm eating all the food. Like, I want you to take the siblings, and I want y'all to go have a better life.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. I thought, I let y'all go, hey, we good. Mm-hmm. But realistically, man, that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
Because every time I thought about basketball, I thought about my family and how I pretty much left them to save myself. Mm-hmm. And so they used to eat me alive. And so then I got to the point where I'm like, you know what, man? I got to play ball, man. I got to play football. I got to hit something.
Yeah.
You know, my dad, finally, he came and moved his family from Florida to Alabama. So I'm like, all right, cool. Like, get a chance to know him. But I got to hit something. Mm-hmm. Man, next thing I know, as I'm playing the game I love, man, it kind of saved me because it gave me purpose again.
Yeah.
Man, I play this game, I'm going to make it out. Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm playing this game, I got to get my grades together so I can make it out.
Right.
Man, by senior year, I had a few offers, D2 offers. End up going to a place called Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina.
I heard it.
Shout out to my HBCU.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't finish though, but shout out to my HBCU.
Yeah.
If you know, you know. Mm-hmm. But nah, man, I had a good time there. Columbia, South Carolina, and I was there at the time that Jadeveon Clowney was at South Carolina. Oh. So Columbia was lit.
Yeah.
That was
the
first cat, bro. I go to Waffle House, he got a sandwich named after him, bro. So I'm like, yo. But that experience, man, I'm there and I'm playing ball because I knew my parents couldn't send me to school. Mm-hmm. So it's full ride. And between you and I and the rest of the world, I didn't want to go to that school. Mm-hmm. But that was the one school that gave me a full ride. That was the one school that I ain't have to worry about money. Mm-hmm. I could just go. Now, we ain't have all this NIL stuff they got now. Yeah, so, you know, it was ramen noodles and Oreos for dinner. But it was one of those things, man, where I started letting people get to my head. Bro, I'm going to be real with you. I redshirted my first year. I didn't even get a chance to actually have college game film. Mm-hmm. But people were saying, hey, man, you better than that. Hey, man, you better than that. You got to get out of there. You got to go somewhere else. And like a dummy, I listened. Because they started saying stuff like, man, I had a dream that you made it to the NFL and you play for the Falcons. And I'm sitting here like, how you dreaming it? But I ain't. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something wrong with me. But then I said, you know what? All right, I'm going to do what they say. I hit the portal. Come to UAB. By that time, man, UAB was not the best team in the world. Mm-hmm. They were sorry. I'm just going to be honest. Now, I'm a Blazer, but they were sorry. But as I got there, I didn't realize that I went from a full ride scholarship to now I'm a walk-on. Bruh, I'm like, yo, I gotta pay bills. Because who's going to pay for school? Who's going to keep a roof over my head? Right. So I'm dealing with all this pressure again. I already got the pressure of, oh, I got to get my family out. Mm-hmm. Now I got the pressure of, all right, how I'm going to pay these bills?
Right.
Man, next thing you know, I started working. The year come around, I'm like, yo, I'm about to walk on. Rumors started happening that the team was going to get cut. So, bro, I didn't even get a chance to walk through that locker room. Like, I didn't even get a chance to be in that situation. Like, I didn't get a chance to feel like a football player again.
Yeah.
And if I can go back, I'm going to be honest with you. If I would have known that was going to be my last time wearing my helmet when I was in South Carolina, I would have never left. Mm-hmm. But I thought I had this big plan because I listened to everybody else and that was going to be the plan.
Yeah.
So, man, but I will tell y'all the way God works, he put me in the best place. Because next thing you know, now I'm adjusting from being an athlete to just a student. As I'm navigating, I'm figuring things out. Going into my senior year undergrad, I get hit with a cancer diagnosis. Mm. And so when I say it hit me, it's like I was running a dig across the middle and I didn't see the middle linebacker. And he just de-cleated me. Mm-hmm. Because in my mind, I'm like, yo, I'm healthy. I look good. I feel good. And just one little thing, and now you're telling me I'm fighting for my life. And so for me, I know we were talking about this earlier, but it was a blessing because it was almost like God was saying, yo, if you don't stop, if I don't slow you down, you're going to die on that field. Because I was willing to die for what I love, to save my people.
Why were you willing to die for the game of football?
Man, it was just like when I was there, I saw what it was doing for people, right? Like I saw the money. I saw what I thought was fame. Like, I saw, you know, people buying their mama houses. And all I could think about was, man, I'm going to buy my mama a house.
Why is that the goal? I mean, like, when you talk about the psychology of an athlete, right, it's like, man, I want to buy my mama a house. I want to buy my mama a car. And, like, what's the goal behind that? What was the driving force with providing these things for your family?
Man, I think it was just seeing them struggle, right? Like, I watched my mom struggle. I watched nobody not help my mom. You know, from what I see. So, you know, being the oldest and knowing what she was sacrificing, my thought was, I'm going to look out for mama. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ride for mama. I'm going to make sure I take care of mama.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, it was one of those things where I think as athletes, we put this pressure on ourselves. Mm-hmm. We unwillingly say, you know what? Hey, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I get to this point. But realistically, we don't do nothing but hurt ourselves, right? Because we're carrying all that weight. And it wasn't until, man, I'll never forget it, I remember talking to my mom, and I said, Mom, you know I love you, right? And she was like, yeah, I know you do, son. I said, you know, Mom, I got to do this for me now. Like, I had football, I was playing sports for you, but Mom, I got to do this for me now. Mm-hmm. And for that, man, I think that was probably the hardest things I ever had to do because now I'm shifting. I went from all my life, man, I'm doing this for Mama. Now I got to figure out how to do this for me.
Yeah.
And so I think cancer was my way of figuring out how do I do this for me now because I got to take care of me now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the one throwing up, right? Like, I'm the one going through treatment. And I think cancer ended up becoming a blessing. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, the crazy part is, bro, I live with cancer now, right? I just finished 4 weeks of treatment.
Wow.
I've been dealing with this since I was 22. I'm 31 now. Mm-hmm. But it's a blessing because it's like I still use the concepts of what I learned in sports to push through. So for me, it's always fourth and one. Fourth and one, I need to stop. That's how I live my life every day. Fourth and one, I need to stop. I can't let the offense go. I got to protect my end zone. I got to protect my mental. Because I'm on a mission, man. And I know you understand that, bro. I know you understand that.
So just hearing your story, I hear a lot of the turning points, right? Because like when we tell our testimony, we tell our stories, man, I feel like we can skate by that pivotal moment of transition, right? Because it's not something that society puts on display.
100%.
It goes to commercial.
Right.
Just like in the game, right? You're watching the Super Bowl. Watching it, people stay in tune with the Super Bowl because of the commercials.
Right.
But they don't realize that if they were at that game on the field, that transition would look totally different.
100%.
There's haywire. There's coaches screaming at you depending on what side of the momentum you're on.
Right.
You're preparing for the next thing to put on display. Right.
Right.
So in those transitional moments, especially when you found out that, you know what, my journey with football is now over and then I have to deal with this cancer, what was inside of your mind going through that transition?
Man, I think at that time I was free falling. So I was trying to hold on to whatever I could, you know, and so naturally I went back to trying to help the younger athletes, you know, because it made me feel like something, right? You play safety, you know the importance of calling out the coverage and making sure everybody got it. So in a sense, I started doing that. Hey, young man, look, I see the path you're going. You might want to change that. Like, hey, listen, when you're getting recruited, that coach ain't going to be the same coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish people have told me things like that, right?
Yeah.
And so I started saying, let me see how I can help others. And honestly, bro, 2016, that's really what started my whole speaking journey. Mm. It's because it was like, all right, I still get to kind of make sure you're in the right coverage. Now, if you blow it, that's on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if I put you in position to win, I'm rooting for you. I'm like, I'm all in. I'm like, yo, dog, you got this.
Yeah.
And I don't need no credit. I just want to be able to say, hey, look, watch your six, man. Look, watch the flat. Mm-hmm. Hey, take care of that.
Yeah.
And I'm going about my business. And then when you come back and say, man, I just signed this contract to become a lawyer, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Now I'm sitting back like, man, God, I thank you.
Yeah.
Like, I thank you for giving me that vision. Because, you know, in safety, you the last line of defense.
Right.
They get past you, they score.
Mm-hmm.
And so that pressure was just natural, man. And so, again, that turning point was I was free-falling, trying to figure out what can I hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, man, I ain't got to lose ball. I just use it in a different way.
Yeah.
My coach would always tell me, you show up on time, you late.
Mm-hmm.
So get somewhere 15 minutes early.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got to stretch and you make sure you're prepared. My college coach, proper preparation prevents piss poor performance, right? Like, these are things that I live by now.
Yeah.
You know, and now I'm like, you know, I ain't gonna lie. When I go into this speaker, like, I'm getting on stage, I'm like, man, this feel like football again. Like, I got my turn up music. I'm like, man, the crowd don't know what's finna happen, man. But I think for me, I allowed myself to fall.
Mm.
I allowed myself to rediscover. Because so many times we think this is our identity. We don't believe that we can change. And so we just squeezing it. We holding on to it. Oh, my goodness. And now we in the barbershop. Man, back in my day, man, now let that go.
Yeah.
Let that go so you can grow, man.
Yeah. And you said something. The 6 P's, I learned the 12 P's.
Oh, boy, that's 12?
Bruh. Proper preparation promotes piss poor performance. Piss poor performance promotes pain.
Say, hey,
that
I
was
like that.
The six, nah, boy. I was like, hey, you know what I'm saying? But I appreciate you saying putting people in position, right? Because let's just say you got a left tackle.
Right.
For people that don't know what a left tackle is, they're typically over 6'6". They weigh about 300-some pounds, tipping 400, right? Their specialty is literally blocking people in front of them. Like, they're not the fastest, probably can't throw a football, probably can't kick past their waistline. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's say that left tackle decided he want to wake up and play quarterback.
Right.
Ain't look at the quarterback position on the playbook. Don't even know what a nine route is. Right. So when we see people like that in life that transition into a position that is not ordained for them, their size is not fit for it.
Right.
Now, they want the glamour behind it of being that quarterback, but it's not for them.
Right.
Right. You talked about being inside of your punchline, and I call it that because you punch me in the gut every time I hear you talk about it, especially on social media, man, about don't burn your cake.
Big facts, right? Man.
When you talk about that, that's like putting the egg once it gets out the oven. You didn't put the egg in there.
Right.
And that's like your binding agent, right?
Right.
And you crack that egg on top of a cake that's trying to cool down. You see what I'm saying? Out of position.
Right.
Not meaning that the egg is bad, but it's just it's bad for that positioning, and now you can't eat the cake, right?
100%.
So go into a little bit of about where that phrase came from and how are you impacting the next generation now.
Man, so when I think about that phrase, man, I'm going to be honest. I was telling my boy earlier, man, I was in the basement. In the making it a motivational EP. And dog, like, it just hit me. I just started saying, don't burn your cake. And I grew up watching my grandma bake cakes, right? Like, that's where the love came from. Mm-hmm. And I would watch grandma take all these ingredients, and she would go through this process, and I would always wonder, why is she doing it this way? Mm-hmm. And so it lets me know, like, there's a way we got to structure our lives. Like, we got to take the time to say, you know what? Yeah, I got some eggs right now. But how am I going to use it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I got some bitter ingredients. How am I going to use it? Mm-hmm. Because most of the times when we go through pain, we try to put it up and hide it. And God is like, yo, if you learn to use that pain, I can turn it into a purpose.
Yeah.
And so don't burn your cake. It's really all about resilience.
Resilience, yeah.
Yeah, restless resilience. Mm-hmm. It's like, are you going to keep going when things ain't working in your favor? Like, are you going to keep going when you don't have, you know, that paper plate and you got to put a slice of cake on a paper towel?
Yeah.
Are you going to keep going? And so that phrase is really used to remind people, yo, you got to keep going. Like, we ain't got time to just stop. Like, I ain't telling you just to bypass it, but at some point, I don't want you to be so stuck in what you've been through that you miss the fact that you got through it. Mm. And many times we go through things and we sit up here and we're like, man. And we put ourselves back in this situation. Like, man, I was watching this video. And the cat was talking about when you go back to the past, you're operating out of anger and regret. Mm-hmm. When you think about the future, you're operating out of anxiety. But it's not until you be still that you realize you're in the present moment.
I think I saw that video.
That's when things begin to change, man. And so when he said it, I said, you know, that's the same process with baking the cake. Once I put that cake in the oven, I got to be present. I got to be listening to the silence, the boredom.
Yeah.
But, you know, we get so caught up, man, did you just see so-and-so get this? Man, they just bought a new car. Man, they just bought a new house. Mm-hmm. What about me? And we're putting ourselves out of position.
Yeah.
Now we just put an egg on top of a cake that's cooling because we forgot to put it together.
Yeah.
You feel me? And so that's really what it's all stemming from, is understanding that your process is your process and owning your process. Mm-hmm. I like cheesecake. You might like pound cake. That's two different ingredients.
Yeah.
You feel me? So it's like owning your process and being who you are 100% and understanding that if that's the only cake you got, make that the best cake you got, man. Mm-hmm. Like, make people know you for, oh, man, yeah, when Shy come around, he going to bring some energy.
Yeah.
He going to bring some impactfulness. He going that's the type of way I live my life, man, because I got my recipe. And so what I tell the younger generation is that, yeah, you may not have everything you need. Yeah, it may be times you walk in the house and your light's off. It may be times that you ain't got no food in the refrigerator. It may be times that your friends got the new J's and you ain't got nothing. But wait until it's your turn. Wait until it's your turn to get those things, because it's going to happen. Because most people think, man, I got to go on the streets now. Mm-hmm. I got to get these materials. And so the young generation, if you hear me, it's going to come. Because I promise you this, if you lock in now, when you get older, hey, there's nothing that's going to knock you off your rocker. Like, because you've seen it all. You know what a post-dig look like, right? Like, you know what, like, you expose yourself to these situations. So think of it as a blessing, man. Because cinnamon by itself is bitter. But it's not until we add those sweet ingredients that we make it better. And that's really what I'm telling people when I break down the whole cake process. Because at the end of the day, bro, it's on us. Mm-hmm. It's on us, man.
That's good, man. And I can tell that you support, you know, individuals that deal with burnout, deal with sustainable strength to endure different things, 100%. Right? And especially with your background with social work.
Yeah.
And are you pursuing a doctor or did you obtain it already?
Man, I'm pursuing it.
Pursuing it. Okay. Yeah. So even in pursuit of your doctorate, right, you have to think about structures and habits for when these life experiences do come up, you transition successfully. So take us a little bit into your life. Like, what type of habits and, you know, structure do you have that keeps you afloat?
Man, I'm going to tell y'all, you know, it's a work in progress, right? Like, being able to pivot and say, hey, this ain't working no more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the biggest thing I do for my life is allowing myself to adjust. You know, when I went through chemotherapy, my memory was affected. And so now, in order to adjust, I utilize my notes in my phone or I post different reminders and I'm telling myself, hey, remember to do this. And when I remember, I reward myself and say, hey, good job, Shad, you made it through. Right? Like, hey, good job. Like, I allow myself to adjust. And I think that's really the key thing to habits. Because it's going to be times, man, like, I may deal with bone pain. So I can't run full speed. So it's listening to your body, man. And it's listening to, most importantly, I always tell people to listen to your heart rather than your head. Because your head going to always tell you, hey, man, go sit down, bro. Go eat that Twinkie. Go play 2K. Go play whatever. Mm-hmm. But your heart going to say, man, you know what's right.
Yeah.
You know, protect me. And so that's really what I'm telling people in my structure is I protect my heart first. Because my heart never failed me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's when I wasn't listening to my heart where I got failed. Because I assumed I had to carry that weight for my mom. I assumed I had to carry that weight for all my friends. But when I put my heart in it, I'm like, you know what? Nah. Because if they love me as much as I love them, they ain't going to let me carry it. They going to rock with me.
So, like, man, I see athletes, man, especially the young men, bro, when you talk about, you know, the anger that you have, and I had it.
Right.
It made me a great tackler.
Right.
One of the best tacklers on the team, hardest hitters on the team, right? And people, it was glorified, yeah. Right? But nobody after the game would ask me, am I okay?
100%,
like,
bro.
What was behind that hit, bro?
100%, bro.
You know what I'm saying? That hit you made on, bro? Like, I know he felt God. Like, bro, I used to say stuff like this, bro. I used to pray before games, bro. Like, you can ask my teammates, bro. I used to pray before games, bro. And I'd be like, God, I hope that you would be with me on this field. And when I hit them, they get a glimpse of what your glory feels like.
Hey, man, I don't think I would have went across the middle on you, bro.
Like, I'm like, yes, bro, I want you to feel God when you hit me, bro. It's like, bro, this man is something, is not of this earth, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how I wanted to do, because I'm like, bro, God, because I always had a relationship with God.
Right.
Now, it was always rocky, you know what I'm saying? But I always knew I need to turn to him. So if I was looking for strength, I'm like, God, I can give a darn about the win or loss.
For real, bro.
I just want to exude enough emotion on this field to where I don't got to slap somebody off this field. Because if I do, I'm going to go to jail and I'm going to blow up for my whole family, right? So it's like when you think about, you said your heart and you're having to deal with the emotions, but you can't show it unless it's on the football field. Were there situations off the field where those emotions could not be obtained? And you was like, whoa, man. Like, I'm about to blow it.
Man, I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I think for me, all my siblings was like another reason why I knew I couldn't blow it, right? But when I was in college by myself, man, and I got that diagnosis, I'm going through chemotherapy, it hit me harder than anything I ever been hit before. And I never forget this, bro. I remember walking by the mirror. I'm bald. At that time, I went from like 205 to 175. I ain't got no eyebrows. And I'm like, man, maybe this is it. God, I'm coming to meet you. You know what I mean? And I didn't have no control over that, right? It was literally, I'm telling myself, man, you ain't the same cat. Who this cat is right here? Go ahead and write this letter and off yourself. And I'm not going to lie, bro. I'm literally writing. And then it's like, man, God spoke to me like, man, nah, tell your story. Because you said it, man. Like, we don't show these emotions as men. And so when I said, you know what, it's power in my vulnerability. Let me open my mouth. Let me tell people, hey, man, look, this is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
But this is how I got through it. Because most people think of sympathy. Oh, I feel so sorry for you, man. Yeah. I'm all about empathy, man. I'm going to jump in that hole with you and be like, all right, look, this is how I got out. Whenever you're ready, I'll be standing there. I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you outside that hole.
Yeah.
But you got to put in the work. And so for me, man, that's what it was all about, man. Like, I never forget that, dog. Like, I'm still in school, and I think the thing that hurt the most was nobody knew I was going through it. Because they got so used to seeing, oh, man, he's strong. He an athlete. He good. And I think if somebody would have asked me, hey, you all right? And actually meant it, instead of just, hey, you good? Like, actually, like, dig deep and say, yeah, you good. Because I think for us, or athletes in general, we want somebody to say, in question, if we say we good, all right, what you mean by that? Tell me a little bit more. Because what I learned is I didn't know how to express.
Yeah.
now that dealing with this cancer stuff, man, let my toe be hurting. Oh, baby, my foot. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know how to express that pain because I allow myself to feel it.
You know with dealing with kids.
Right.
I know exactly how to get them to express. You literally just show them concern.
Simple.
People know how to express themselves.
Simple.
Because we express ourselves through our emotions. We express ourselves through our actions.
Right.
We're just a walking expression, bro.
Right.
If you can think of an exclamation point, bro, we're exclaiming what we feel on the inside. 100%. No matter how well you feel like you can express it.
Right.
Right. So when you talk about expressing your story and your life through a verbal way, right? I can only imagine what type of processing you had to go through to say, okay, if they don't go through cancer, but their emotions are the same as mine, how do I deliver this to the world that's digestible? Because I know the way that God did with you ain't going to be digestible to the next person, right? Real. So take us through that moment of saying, okay, I know I need to be speaking about my journey.
Right.
But how did you break it down into don't burn your cake?
Yeah, nah, that's real, bro. And that's what cake really came in handy. Mm-hmm. Cause everybody loved cake.
Yeah.
Everybody loved cake.
Oh, man, right? Boy.
And I'm gonna be honest, man, like, you know, and you're right about kids. You show a kid you care, you're gonna get everything. But when you got an adult, man, I got trust issues now.
Yeah.
So you gonna have to show me something first.
Thanks.
Then I can open up, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where cake come in play. I get people, man. Back in the day, man, I used to watch my grandma bake cakes. And as I'm talking about the cake, I may say something like, you know, y'all missed the message. And so when I do that, and now I'm breaking down, and I'm breaking down my story to letting them know, hey, you thought I was talking about cake, but I was really talking about that pain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you thought I was talking about cake, but I'm really talking about your emotions.
Yeah.
Because one of your emotions is the heat of the oven. You can't control your oven no matter what you put in there.
Yeah.
You can't control your oven, your emotions. Whatever you put in that oven is going to burn up.
Yeah.
So if you can't control this, if you can't express this, no matter what God give to you, you're going to burn it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's talk about it. Have you allowed yourself to preheat? You know what I'm saying? Most people don't know about that, right?
I ain't going to lie.
Most people don't think about that. They jumping off the porch.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? But I'll tell myself, man, look, that's why God is delaying you. You preheating. Mm-hmm. Your success coming.
Yeah.
Yours just taking a little bit longer because you just got so much more to bake.
So what happens, like, if you were to put a cake in there, right?
Right.
And you got done mixing everything.
Right.
You turn it on to preheat, and then you automatically put it in there. Man. Like, what happens to that process of a cake?
It throws everything off, right? Because now the heat is not even. So you may have one side of the cake that's rising. You may have the other side of the cake that's falling. But it's because the heat, you didn't allow the heat to heat up.
Mm.
There's even going to be parts where you cut that cake, you're going to be like, man, it's raw in the middle. It looked good on the outside. But because you didn't allow that process to happen, now you in a position like, man, I can't serve this.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just taking that extra step to say, you know what, let me let it preheat. Mm. Because what I always tell people, you can't bake a cake in a cold oven.
Yeah.
Try it. Don't believe me, try it. Mm. And you're just going to be sitting there wondering why you don't smell nothing. And so until we acknowledge our emotions, until we acknowledge our pain, we just sitting there.
Yeah.
Wonder why things ain't working. And so, man, that's what I tell people, man. That's why I love to talk about cake, bro. I could talk about cake all day.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who my audience is because, again, we all like cake.
Yeah.
And even though you can see others that look like they like cake, but, you know, that's a whole nother story. Like,
yeah.
You can sit up here and say, you know what? As I'm thinking about this process, man, I'm thankful that job I wanted didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thankful, you know, that career path I thought I was going and I took anatomy because I thought I was going to be, I ain't going to lie to you, bro, I thought I was going to be a physical trainer.
Yeah.
Man, I got the UAB, took anatomy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Hit me out of here.
Is that like your introduction class?
Man, yes, bro.
Yeah, they sift you out, man.
Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this ain't for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that's when I realized, man, like, I had to be okay with trying different things.
Mm.
Because if you never tried nutmeg, or if you never tried these different ingredients, you don't know how to use them.
Mm.
And I think that's the part that people miss. Like, you got to taste your adversity to know what to do with it. I can't tell you, hey, go out and be a motivational speaker. That ain't for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, hey, man, where that pain coming from? You may want to go be a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, you may want to go be a doctor. Like, if you allow that pain to become your purpose, mm-hmm. and by acknowledging that pain, you'll begin to understand your purpose, man.
Mm.
And I think that's why God is, he literally just, just deposit stuff in my heart because he knows I'm going to share it. Whatever he say, hey, all right, I got you, OG. Boom. Let me share this message. And I don't worry about the likes, man. I don't get caught up in the followers. All I say is, can I impact one?
Yeah.
And that's all I go for, man.
Nothing I saw this video on, I think, TikTok or Instagram Reels where there was this audience, right? And they said, okay, this is what a room of five people look like. Mm-hmm. They said, compare that to your viewers.
Right.
Next post. This is what 10 people in the room look like. Then it went to 100. And I started looking like, whoa. Like, and I started going back to my videos. They got the 100 views. And right. I was like, whoa. Like, what if, I mean, five of them might be rewatches.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? But that still leaves over 90 people.
100%.
Okay, so when it's like, okay, I'm looking at this, and then it goes to 1,000 views. Mm-hmm. What does that room look like? 2,000 views. And you know what that room look like because you've been up in front of people, in front of thousands of people, hundreds of people, a 50-player roster football team, right? So in the dynamic of a speaker, we know what these rooms look like and what these stages feel like. It's like, yo, these are not just viewers.
100%.
These are souls, 100%. Right? And it's like, what does that video do to these souls when they click on it, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit about that, like with your journey, because I know that you've shared stages with some prominent speakers, man, and even your heart posture with the things I know.
Right.
It's not like, hey, man, like let me get on stage with you and everything. Like when you enter into a space like that, transitioning from an athlete,
right,
and you know these people have been doing it a while, people that you look up to, how do you approach those type of people?
Man, I think that's a great question, man. I remember my freshman year of college, there was a All-American safety in front of me. Mm-hmm. He didn't become All-American just because it was a title, right? Like, he put in the work to get that. And so, although I knew my talent skill, I knew it would be smart of me to get to know, hey, what you doing consistently, bro? Mm-hmm. Because what I did in high school wasn't going to work in college. Because everybody bigger, faster, stronger. And so what I tell people, man, even when I'm on stage with, you know, cats like Inky, man, it was – Inky always says, bless it. Inky Johnson. Yeah.
Inky Johnson, yeah, bro. Inky Dang, Johnson, bro.
I ain't going to lie, man. Meeting him, man, we got – I'm gonna break it up real quick. Look, meeting him was a God thing, man, because I had a principal that gave me my first opportunity to speak in 2016. He ended up getting diagnosed with cancer a few years later. I ended up becoming his mentor. He ended up passing, bro. And when he passed, the first thing he said was, hey, Shy, I got you as one of my top speakers. It's you, then it's Inky Johnson. And so I tell him, hey, I know you only saying that because you know me. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, man, I believe it. So I tell him, hey, I'm going to meet Inky one day, and I'm going to tell Inky face to face, this is why we met. Mm-hmm. And, man, so last year when I got to share the stage with Inky, bro, it was like a heart moment being able to share with him, hey, this is meaningful for me that I get to speak, and you right there, bro. Mm-hmm. Because I think it really put the icing on the cake for me, because that man believed in me so much to tell me that I was in his top two. Mm-hmm. And so I don't see being on stage with other speakers as a competition. I see it as a blessing.
Yeah.
Right? Because let's say, you know, you great at what you do, right? And now I get to follow up after you. Mm-hmm. Well, I get to go before you and set the tone. Man, we changing lives together. Mm-hmm. But most people think it's me, me, me. But I think I'll tell any athlete, that's where you got to keep that team mentality, man.
Yeah.
Because if you got the right teammate, everybody going to eat. Mm-hmm. You know, the D-line do their job. You bound to get an interception.
Yeah.
You know, they put the pressure on the quarterback. Little duck going in the air. Give me that. And so that's why I tell people, man, like, the stages I've been able to meet or be on, the people I've been able to meet, like, it's just all God's plan, man.
Yeah.
It just lets me know I was more than an athlete. Mm-hmm. But the concepts of being an athlete is what allows me to sustain what I'm doing, because I know I got to keep working. I can't just take a break. I can't think, oh, man, I made it now. I spoke with, you know, Inky, right? Mm-hmm. I met Eric Thomas, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I got to keep going.
Yeah.
Same thing in sports, man. There's somebody that's always trying to get to where you are. And I always say, what I like to do, I'm going to help you get up. I want you to get there with me, right? Because we know iron sharpens iron. So if you pushing me to be better, I'm only going to get better. Because there's people that they hear, oh, you a speaker? I could never. Mm-hmm. They'd rather die than speak, bro. And you and I like, man, bro, give me that mic. Let me show you what we do. Yeah. But that's just a fear of people, man. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's really no such thing as competition, man. It's about understanding who is on your team, because we all competing for the same thing, to save souls, man. To get people out of that trial and tribulation and say, you know what? I got you, man. Mm-hmm. I got you.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that too, man, because it's one thing I disagree with you on, bro.
Talk to me.
If there's a mic right there, bro, I'm not going to be the first one to. Y'all going to have to tell me, like, hey, this is your mic. This is your moment to impact.
Right.
Like, anytime I open up my mouth, bro, it's because of obedience from God.
True.
Because I ain't wake up out the womb saying I want to be a speaker, bro.
Right, right.
Like, I don't like speaking, bro.
Right.
Like, I'm going to be all the way real. But I know that it's in moments where I know my mouth is shut that there's opportunities that God can actually move in somebody else's life. Bro. And I know that it's become a gifting of mine.
Right.
But I had to work at it, bro. Just like with football, man. Like, I was speaking with a strong accent, still have it.
Right.
Didn't know how to articulate most of my words. And sometimes, bro, I don't believe in the concept of code switching, but I do believe in the concept of, hey, man, if you can control it, bro, make sure they understand what you're talking about.
Facts, bro.
Especially in different spaces, right?
Big facts.
That's a next level of actually just intelligence. Because I'm able to look at the alternatives.
Right.
And I know the definition of this word, but I also know the shortened word, which you taught at Ebonics, right? And I know how to communicate to all crowds, right? So it's like I'm authentically myself,
right?
But in the same token, I'm not about to discredit somebody else's interpretation of what the message needs to be.
Right.
So I had to go through a couple of things just from an athlete transitioning, going up to a PWI. We call that a predominantly white institution, right? So you went to HBCU, then you went to
PWI.
You know what I'm saying? PWI. And for the people that don't know what the HBCU is, it's a historically black college and university at Benedict College.
Yeah.
So that culture shock, that shift, right? That was another transition that you have to do. Because as an athlete, you just don't play sports.
Right.
You're going to class. Mm-hmm. You're in class with international students. Mm-hmm. UAB is the hub in the state of Alabama for international students, right?
Right.
So when you talk about that transition of balancing life on the field, especially at Benedict College, I'm very eager to know what your situation was like balancing life at home,
right?
Because those struggles didn't go anywhere.
Nah.
So I know that you were getting these phone calls,
right?
About things going on. Then you got your social life. You got your academic prowess, right?
Right.
And then other organizations you might have been a part of.
Right,
then you also have football. And spiritual life if you pursue that.
Right.
Right? So how are you able to balance those things on the field and off the field?
Man, I think the perfect analogy is matching your defense to match what the offense is doing, right?
Okay.
Like, if the offense is in goal line, you're not going to be in prevent defense.
What's prevent,
man, you know, you typically may have three safeties or a corner or somebody playing deep. The goal is not to get beat over the top. Typically, when the team is about to throw a Hail Mary, you know, you're trying to protect that end zone. And I ain't going to lie, a couple of times we got scolded on prevent. Mm-hmm. So, that's a whole other story. But you're trying to protect the end zone, and you know they got to throw the ball. When you're in prevent defense, bro, they're not finna run the ball. Mm-hmm. They're either down by seven or they need a touchdown and they're trying to win the game. And so prevent is just a coverage where you're telling your secondary, back up. You know, your linebackers, back up. You may even rush, you know, three linemen, you know, just because you want more people to cover up those spaces, man. And so to translate that to life, I had to learn how to read the coverage, right? I had to learn how to read the classroom. And if we being honest, man, just – you know, being who we are, you know, we're big, right? I didn't have as many tattoos, but I know people were afraid when I walked in the room. Mm-hmm. So I had to have a smile. I had to learn how to show teeth and say, you know, it wasn't me being fake. It was me adjusting to the coverage.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to get disqualified without even having a chance to compete.
That's good, bro.
You know what I'm saying? And so same thing with my academics. I had to show, you know, that I was a smart kid. And I was so smooth with it, bro. Like, oh, man, I don't know that answer. Then, hey, Shy, what you made? Oh, I made an A. Oh, man, you do know that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I learned how to allow other people to shine out loud so then I could sit back and just say, you know what, cool. Now, when we talk about that transition from HBCU life to PWI, and don't get me wrong, man, I love my HBCU. But I think the thing that I learned is I learned more about life at my HBCU. Because we had a curfew as freshmen. We couldn't have a microwave in the rooms, right? Cafeteria closed at 6. Mm. So it made me, hey, I got to figure this out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mama and pops, man, they may be sending $20, you know, for the month. How do I make this stretch? all right, you ain't getting a refund check. I mean, I hate to say this, but you won't get that till maybe October. Mm-hmm. Man, I got the UAB. About the second day of class, I got a refund check. I said, mm-hmm. I'm about to go buy that PlayStation. Yeah. You feel me? Yeah. But I lost my training. And it wasn't until I had to remind myself, man, bro, you know how to work with stuff when it's the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. So when you at this PWI, when you see people struggling, you can't get caught up in that social life aspect because you know you on a mission. You got to go mm-hmm. work.
Yeah.
And so I always used to tell myself, yeah, I can't party now, but I promise you this, I'm going to be the one owning the club, right? I'm going to walk in and be like, yeah, this is my establishment. You feel me? Like, I would tell myself these things because I wanted to make it worth it. So, like, even now, man, like, my wife and I, we go out to dinner. I'm telling her, get whatever you want. Like, I'm not going out to dinner to eat no chicken fingers. I'm like, yo, if the steak is $100, let me get that because I prepared for it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I ain't just going out there with no game plan.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that most people forget about is that as an athlete, you know, we used to watch film. We used to scout our opponents, right? And now that, you know, with your life, you can't scout everything. But for the most part, hey, what's my plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I going to do if I see this come up? How am I going to keep my grades up? You know, how am I going to make sure I stay at the top of my game in sports? And so it was really all about having that mindset of knowing when to adjust, when to make that audible. All right, look, man, I need to do a better job at communicating. You know, I need to slow down when I talk. I need mm-hmm. to having these conversations in my head. And like, hey, Shaw, don't let your passion get you out of position.
Yeah.
And I know Deion say stuff like, you know, don't allow my confidence to, you know, pretty much insinuate that I'm arrogant,
mm-hmm.
right? And I get that. But what I also tell people is people going to judge you regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to understand how to adjust to their judgment based off of experiences that they had with somebody else.
Yeah.
It's easy to put everybody else in the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get robbed and you see somebody with a mask on, naturally you're dealing with something that's going to trigger you and say, man, last time I saw a person with a mask on, they robbed me.
Yeah.
So now you're going to act a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe if you got that mask on, maybe I got to take it off a little bit, right? Maybe I got to adjust and show them, hey, I ain't trying to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a two-edged sword, right? Like, we got to be understanding why most people have their perspective because of what life has happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's also like, you know what? I can still be me. But I'm also smart enough to protect. If I'm on offense, I'm protecting my quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm trying to score. And I ain't trying to get no offside, so I'm not trying to penalize myself. And so it's all about really just knowing, do I know my playbook enough? Am I reading? Am I reading my word? Am I writing my journal? Do I know my emotions?
Yeah.
Like, bro, you know how it feels to get in the elevator and people get to clench in their purse?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here like, man, y'all don't even know that I'll be the one to give you the shirt off my back.
Yep.
But I can't react to that.
Mm-hmm.
All the times I may want to crash out, I can't.
Yeah.
Because if I crash out, I'm putting myself out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And insurance ain't going to work in my favor.
Yeah.
They ain't going to be like, totaled, you get a check.
Yeah.
You ain't going to really get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these, like I see athletes, bro, like, you know, the latest one I seen, the cat that played for the Browns,
mm-hmm.
hit the news for, you know, they talking about domestic violence.
Mm.
And I'm like, man, how did you put yourself in that situation? You know what I'm saying? Granted, I know people are devious and people may have their own motives of, oh, I'm about to get this so I can get this money, or, you know, I ain't accusing nobody of nothing, but it's just like, how do you not think about that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think at some point, man, if what I'm saying with this is, as athletes, you're not invincible, man.
Mm.
For most people, you're entertainment.
Yeah.
They don't care about what you've been through. And if they do, they want to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, single household. And look at them, first round draft pick. And pay attention to the draft, man.
Yeah.
It shows it all the time. But what I tell people is, who are you? At the core of this, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you show up as?
Yeah.
So that means you got to get in your playbook and understand who you are. First thing in cake, man, it's the methodology I teach. It's continue to learn. Every day is an opportunity to learn something new about yourself. Like, even talking with you, bro, you bringing back memories that I thought I suppressed.
Mm-hmm.
Now realizing, dang, I feel good to talk about it. You feel mm-hmm. me? So that's what I would tell people, man, is learn how to adjust. Because you can't just play in the 3-4 at all times.
Mm-hmm.
You got to adjust to the new offense.
Yeah.
Because if not, guess what? That's 6 on your head.
Yeah.
Game over.
And you said something profound about just knowing your playbook.
Yeah, like, man.
Everybody has a different role inside the playbook as well.
Yeah, bro.
And I feel like, especially, ooh, this is good. All right, so with how I'm looking at the playbook, each playbook has its own culture.
Right, right.
Okay? has its own culture, and depending on who the coach is, it flips. It transitions, exactly. Right? Teams have different swags,
right?
And the culture that is built based upon that playbook is predicated on what these coaches need to fulfill that playbook. So 100%. If a playbook is, you know, on defense, I can only speak on defense, right? But you know you're in a conference that passes the ball, and they have big receivers.
Right.
Why are you going to recruit a 5'5 safety
right.
that can't cover, and his main thing is to go downhill and make tackles, right? You're setting yourself up for failure. So the culture is I have to go out and recruit people that I know would fit the culture of not only my playbook, but the culture of the surrounding areas. 100%, bro. Like there's teams up north that they will probably never go down to Florida and recruit. Why? Because they at the height of their athleticism, they showcase their best ability inside of warmer areas.
Big fast.
Right? Now, you get those people that, you know, might go to Colorado, you know what I'm saying, with Deion Sanders, and he prepares them the right way, you know what I'm saying, or some more formidable coaches like Michigan, right? Ohio State, these northern states, they'll be like, hey, if you're a ball player, we're going to come and find you.
Right.
But at the core of a coach, he has to consider that to be able to execute it. So when I think of a playbook, you also have to practice.
Big fast, bro.
So you resort back to your lowest level of training whenever there's a crisis going on.
100%.
So like you said, you might see that woman inside the elevator and they clutch the purse. Your significant other may yell at you.
Right.
And your lowest level of training may be to just pop off because you felt threatened.
Big fast.
Right? Yours might be whenever somebody says something wrong about your folks, and in grade school, you always defended your folks in that way, and your defense mechanism wasn't to go out and excel and protect your family's name that way, right? It was to use your fist.
Right.
So if you've been training yourself this way, that's what you're going to present to the world when there's a crisis, when you have to make a split-second decision. So when you were inside of life dealing with split-second decisions, right? Can you think of a moment where you had to make a split-second decision, you didn't know whether or not it was the right or wrong answer, but everything ended up okay? Walk us through that processing.
Man, I've been beat up so much by life. Mm-hmm. I think, man, I got repossessions on cars.
Yeah.
And I think that was a quick moment, right, where you can't take my car if I give it to you,
mm-hmm.
right? And so what I mean by that is that I knew financially – I was probably, like I said, my senior year undergrad. Things weren't going the way it was supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to choose between how am I going to pay these bills and mm-hmm. then how am I going to get to work.
Yeah.
And most people say, well, why would you get rid of your car? I realized I had two left feet, a left foot and a right foot. Mm-hmm. So I was like, if I got to walk to work, I'm going to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
And so I remember calling up the people and I was like, man, I can't pay this no more. You know, I want to volunteer to rent this car. Right? I let the car go. Man, next thing I know, at that time, man, I was dealing with a situation, high school situation, that ended up, you know, thinking that was going to work relationship-wise, and it didn't work out, right? So now, bro, now I ain't got no car. We're staying together, bro. Now I ain't got no house.
Mm.
So I'm homeless. Bro, I'm staying right in home with extended stay. Mm. I'm sitting at extended stay, bro. And so at that moment, I'm like, yo, how did I get to this point? How did I get to this moment?
Yeah.
And I want to bring this back when I say for me, while I said it was a blessing to let go of the car, even though I also lost a house after, or lost a townhouse with Sharon,
mm-hmm.
because I was like, yo, I'm gone, right? Now I'm in this hotel, but it was at that moment I realized, no matter what I go through, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though I keep losing stuff, I'm still here. So now it's like I'm to the point where I don't attach emotions to material things.
Mm.
It can be out, hey, all right, God, all right, I lost that. Yeah, I lost it because I ain't pay my bills. Yeah, I understand that. All right, I didn't pay my bills because I was overwhelmed. Okay, cool. Now when I'm dealing with jobs and I'm dealing with stress, how do I process this? I'm processing it better. See, I'm the type of person, bro, when I make a mistake, I ain't finna beat myself up. What do I learn from it? Yeah. And when I adjust and I'm like, all right, God, I'm ready for my next blessing now. Mm. Hey, son, look, here's a little 2023. Go ahead, brand new off the lot. Go ahead and get that. But now you know what it is to lose something because you paid attention to that lesson.
Yeah.
Now you're going forward. And so what I tell you that it worked out is because it taught me anything that you lost can be replaced.
Mm.
I lost football. He replaced it with being a speaker. Now I get a chance to, and you know the circle we run with, bro. Mm-hmm. We got cats that's in the league that we cool with, bro. Yeah. Like, so we can spend those times hanging out with them and still get that same vibe. We may not be on the field executing, but I'm going to be real with you. The way these knees work, the way this back pain, shoot, I'm cool with sitting on the sideline saying, hey, my boy, salute to you.
Yeah.
But I think that's my biggest thing, bro, is that losing my car remind me that although I'm losing materials, I ain't lose myself. Mm-hmm. Even letting go of that relationship, bro, I'm talking about that was 6 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? High school sweetheart, listening to everything. And then I told myself, you know what? I got to let it go. And it wasn't until I let it go that a year later that I run into my now wife. So imagine if I would have held on to something that wasn't for me no more. Mm-hmm. Imagine if I never adjusted the coverage. And there's no ill will to anybody, but at some point you got to learn how to adjust on the fly. Mm-hmm. And that's what that taught me to say, you know what, cool. If I lose something today, something better is going to be coming. Mm-hmm. Not because I deserve it, but because I'm willing to work for the thing that God has given to me.
Yeah.
He let me lose it for a reason, even if it's my own obedience. Maybe it was, hey, you ain't going to listen to me this way. Let me make your life a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you're going to listen now.
Yeah.
Man, when I was sleeping in that hotel, bro, then I started couch surfing because now I'm out of money.
Mm.
So now I'm sleeping on a couch, man. Shout out to Alec and Chelsea, man. I'm sleeping on their couch, and every day they dog are coming, waking me up, licking me in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Little did they know I needed that.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, man, wait till I bounce back. Then, I moved out to Moody, met a partner of mine. He was like, hey, bro, you can stay at the house. So I'm staying at his house. I'm like, all right, cool. But then next thing I know, bro, I said, man, I'm going to get my own house. I finally graduated undergrad. My first apartment, bro, I promise you, was probably from this couch to that couch. Mm. But it was mine, bro.
Yeah.
After losing it all, man. And so I tell people, man, if you don't hear nothing else, hear me when I say, the biggest thing you can do for your life is to acknowledge your pain. Adjust to that. We got to start responding out of emotion. Because emotion is just going to make more pain.
Yeah.
We got to respond with logic, man. Sitting back and adjust. All right, cool. I was in cover 3. That didn't work. Let me go to cover 2. Let me get 2 high safeties now. Let me do whatever I got to do to put myself in a position to be great. Mm-hmm. Because what this thing about cancer, what it taught me, man, life is short. I don't watch people die, bro. And God still got me here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting here like, I don't question nothing, but I'm like, man, that person did everything right.
Yeah.
And now they gone.
Mm-hmm.
Man, let me learn. Let me process what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And here we are, bro.
Bro, that's amazing, man. And I feel 10 times better just hearing your story, just in depth, hearing your passion behind it. Because what I'm hearing is that there's a lot of passion that can come from pain when you deal with it the right way, when you transition the right way,
when you
view things that happen to you out of a perspective that is healed.
Yeah.
Because there's been situations where I would start telling some things that had happened to me, and I'm like, whoa, that's not the right heart posture, bro.
Right.
That's not the way that I need to be telling this story to somebody else, because they won't have hope after this conversation.
That's real, bro.
They'll just have what you have, sympathy, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't help. It doesn't add, right?
Right.
I'm trauma dumping on people.
Right.
And this is how I know. If I done told this story about 20-something times, bro, and I'm still talking like, because it's good to have that person you confide in. You got a counselor, a therapist, right, that you go to, or a family member that has some wisdom on them.
Right.
And you need to get it off your chest.
Right.
But if you done told this same thing about 10, 12 times, bro, it's some healing that need to happen, and also some repentance.
Right.
And what I mean by that is not a religious term that I'm saying it in. It means to turn away from the way that you're thinking of that thing, because right now, like, you sinning, bro. By remembering this in a way that is not building the kingdom of God, bro,
right.
It's dampening the kingdom of God. It's dampening your light and your fire, right? Not talking about you, but just talking about you, bro. Like, the audience, like, we have to make sure that when we're telling our stories and telling the things that we're dealing with, that we always check ourselves.
100%,
and that pain can sneak up sometimes, because it may be some things where the way somebody asks a question about what happened, it brings up an emotion that I know I ain't dealt with.
Right.
So I done told the story, but the way the question was asked, or the way the opportunity presented itself, it's like, you know what? I'm finna burn my cake, my boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, man, I got 2 audiences here, man. Is TEDx Alabaster and also Flip the Culture. How can we support Don't Burn Your Cake and what you have going on?
I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. It's gonna sound cliche, but keep doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because the more y'all grow, I'm gonna come back and be like, man, yeah, I was on Flip the Culture, yeah. And I mean that in the best way, right? Because now that lets me know we family. I can't let you down. You ain't gonna let me down. Mm-hmm. And that's really the best way I can say it, bro. Is just keep doing what y'all are doing, because what's gonna happen is people are gonna see, hey, this is a realistic moment that people are going through.
Yeah,
like these are stories that need to be heard. And I know it's crazy, but, bro, we live in social media life where everybody think it's just like this. Yeah. Everybody want to put cake in the microwave and then complain about it don't taste right. And mm-hmm. if you don't put that thing in the oven, yeah, it's going to take a little bit longer. But I tell people that you doing what you do creates space and rooms where maybe 10 years from now, you and I and Ted S, we hosting a big conference.
Yeah.
Now we got everybody coming, shutting mm-hmm. the city down. So that's what I would tell y'all, man. That's the best way, bro, is that – that lets me know I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Because I'm not going to sit up here and say it get easy. Mm-hmm. But I will say, again, putting purpose behind it allows me to say, you know what? That's why I had to go through that.
Yeah.
Like, if I ain't go through half of the stuff I went through, I don't think I'd be sitting in this chair chopping it up with you. Mm-hmm. You feel me? Because now my perspective has changed. Now it's, okay, even though in my pain, I'm still on top, right? Because one thing I believe is if you don't learn to use that pain going to use you. And when pain is using you, yeah. It's trying to break you.
It's ugly.
It don't care. And so that's the thing I tell you, bro, is that, and like I said, I know it's a cliche thing, but keep doing what y'all doing, bro. Because, again, you inspiring somebody that may find a cure for cancer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you going out and sharing your word and sharing the athlete that may become the next doctor, and now we got a cure. So I'll be a fool to block my blessings to say, man, I need $100,000 by tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'll be a fool to say that. Instead, hey, I trust God's plan. Mm-hmm. So y'all keep doing what y'all doing, bro. And I promise you, bro, I'm telling you now, what's the day? The 16th. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, bro, a year from now, we're going to be like, bro, remember that conversation? Mm-hmm. Now Oprah want us to go ahead and talk about her show. You feel me? So that's just how I operate, though, man. Like, I'm not looking to gain anything that's not meant for me. And I learned to allow God to position those things, man. Mm-hmm. That's real.
Well, you're in position, man, because I want these people to know where to find you at, too.
Not
you know what
real,
I'm saying?
Bro,
so is there a website, anything you want to share, like, on how people can find you, get in contact with you? Man. Like, how can they connect?
Listen, all you got to do is throw cake in the air, and I'll pop up, and I'll play.
Man, bro.
But on a real note, man, website is RashadHayesSpeets.com. That's RashadHayesSpeets.com. Instagram, TikTok, same name, man. And if you follow me on TikTok, you know every day I'm trying to post just content, a minute just to pour into your life, man. And so mm-hmm. I always tell people when I'm off the stage, those are my cupcake moments.
Yeah.
Those are the moments where, because I understand that not everybody's going to ever hear me speak live and allow me to do what I do best. Mm-hmm. That's why I love being on this podcast, because now people can say, all right, he is human. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like us. So that's the best way to follow me, man. And, you know, that's the best thing to do, bro. And I tell y'all, hear me when I say this. It ain't nothing wrong asking for help. It ain't nothing wrong asking, hey, how did you do that? Because the right person gonna break bread with you. Because, again, ain't no such thing as competition. We all trying to live a better life. We all trying to inspire the next generation. That's all I got for you, bro.
That's it, man. I appreciate you, man. Hey, flip the culture. But the culture won't change until we do. Man, we're going to see y'all next time, man. Tap in. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. Should have probably said that a few times within the podcast. But we're going to get better, man. We still working. All right. See you next time.